You're listening to Making Champions, the culture of youth sports podcast.
Welcome to Making Champions. And the show is actually about kids and the culture of America and how it's so different from when we grew up. It was kind of like in America, we played like we're all in our upper 40s. And when we played sports, we would go to the local parks and we would just go and play with our friends. And then eventually we get to high school or junior high school. And then we end up playing sports and we get into JV or varsity. These days, all of us have kids in our teens all the way to late teens and college. And we've, as parents, put all of our kids through these crazy sports regimens and these like AAU grabs out there, and we get suckered into it, whether it's volleyball, basketball, football, golf, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Like, we just want to kind of share what the culture is like out here and like share our personal experiences and just give you guys some fun facts. They said in 2022, the AAU and kids sports economy, which means like private coaching, training, sports in general, is worth $34.7 billion. And they said it's going to grow to $69 billion by 2030, which means there's a lot of money out there mm-hmm. for this type of industry. What do you guys think?
It's true. I spent over $4,000 to $5,000 per kid. A lot of years it was two kids at the same time. So you're spending like $10,000 a year, not including travel costs and all those other things, but just our dues for volleyball.
Yeah, for volleyball, right?
For volleyball.
Yeah. How about you, Danny? You have kids in sports?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. When you mentioned that, it's different than when we grew up, because when we grew up, it was just go out to the park and play with friends and all that. It's a different ball game now if you want to be good, because everyone's going to the clubs.
I didn't know if it was geographic. Like in the Midwest, we played for our school. That's it. I played a sport for fall, winter, and spring. Three-sport athlete was the thing. Like, you're a three-sport varsity athlete. But I came out here. I didn't know if it was because I came out here or if the times changed. They seem to focus on one sport, maybe two. But it's all club and it's all outside of school.
Probably. Yeah, it's crazy because I had kids in basketball. I had kids in golf. I had kids in, I don't know, like football and different types of things. And it's like everything you do these days is like everyone's coaching you. Like everyone's like, hey, I got your kid and I was scouting him and I think he can be really good, but he just needs a little bit more like performance and a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And it's like you start talking to these private coaches and you're like, how much are you charged? Like $200 an hour. I'm like, $200 an hour? What the heck? It's like, yeah, that's like attorney fees almost, you know? And these guys are like out here like hustling the parents. And I don't know what's true, what's reality, what's going to happen. Like, are they really going to make it to college? But what's crazy is because one person does it and another person does it, then all of your kids' friends are like doing it, and then you feel like your kids are being falling behind because they're not like getting that training that each kid needs. And you're like, damn, at third grade you have to put these kids in this damn performance training.
Yeah, there was a volleyball coach that specialized in hitting, but you know, he would do passing and serving and all that, but like he was like $400 or $500 and like
per hour.
I forget. maybe I'm quoting it high, but it was $400 or $500. Maybe it was like a couple sessions or something. And you go to this guy, there is improvement for sure. I mean, Nate definitely did it a couple times. And then like when we had friends who wanted referrals, we would refer it to them. And they do improve, but it's like that little tiny edge that you want. You're going to pay for it. And then it does work. Some of them work. Obviously, that's why they go back to the ones that work and those guys get popular. And he has an Instagram and all that. But that's on top of all your regular dues and your travel and your everything. So it adds up.
It does add up. And when you talk about like, I mean, volleyball is more expensive probably than basketball. But then you start like my kids transition from basketball to golf. And then golf is like, my kids have a swing coach, a putting coach, and then you have a mental coach. And it gets pretty expensive because they charge by the hour. And like the golf coach lessons are like $200 an hour, right? So each kid, I got two kids in golf. So you get two back-to-back, you know, like lessons per day, per week. It's $400 a week. Plus you got a mental coach who's like $300 an hour. So then you have, what is that? Like $700 in a week times four. It's like $3,000 just in lessons for golf. And they're like, get so frustrated. The kids are like, go practice, go practice. And it's like, they still don't, you know? So it's a tough thing for parents, because you feel like when you don't have the training, then like you feel like your kid's falling behind. But right. Then when you do provide it, you feel a little anxious because you're like, why aren't you getting better? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you going practicing? And so, I don't know. It's a tough place to be as parents these days.
And you got equipment costs for golf.
That's
true. I don't know how often you replace your clubs and all that.
Yeah, I just took my kids to the Kingdom in Carlsbad for TaylorMade, and got two brand new sets for both kids, one set each, and it came out to like $12,000. Luckily, I got a 40% discount, so it came out to only like $6,000 something. But it was like, man, it's like how do you keep like keeping up with those kind of equipment costs and coaching costs?
Yep. No, it is crazy how much money like we're actually putting in. Like Yobo say, even with volleyball, we're putting in $4,000 or $5,000 a year per kid. And that's not including travel costs or tournament fees and all that stuff. You go to these tournaments, there's hundreds of teams, and you're paying $20 for parking and then $20 a head entry. It's a lot of money going into this thing.
So in volleyball, let me ask you guys, because in basketball, they have these things called like EBC, like Elite Basketball Circuit. And it's like this marketing promotion thing where it's like a money grab. And they're like, oh, you're an all-star for every grade, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, or high school. They say, oh, you're an all-star. And when you come, you go to this elite basketball camp that they put on in different cities called the EBC like circuit. And it's like a 2-day training. But you like literally get a little bit of training from coaches, and then you play some like all-star games or whatever in different contests. And it puts these kids in rankings. Like, I don't even know how you rank these kids. But then these camps cost like $500. And you're like, what do they get out of it? And all they're doing in basketball is like, the best way of playing basketball is like playing as a team, but these kind of camps in basketball teach you like more playing one-on-one and scoring versus like anything else. And so it almost like kills the environment of like making kids improve on what they're able to do versus just like playing as a unit, like, you know, the old school Spurs, right? Like Greg Popovich and coaching the team and the system versus like these days kids come out and all of a sudden they're like want to be just one-on-one champions, and they don't pass and they want the ball, and like it just becomes this like, and it's a big money grab because these like organizations are putting this camp, like they have like 600 kids. Imagine 600 kids for a weekend at $500. What is that? $300,000 on a weekend they're making, and they have these like every month. And yeah, you're like, what the heck? These guys are making like $3 million a year off of parents and kids that want to be ranked number one in their country or region. You know, right. Do they have that stuff in volleyball?
I wouldn't say it's like that. It sounds like those guys found a niche and they made this ranking popular enough for kids to want to do it, but they don't have something specifically like that. And they kind of got to be sanctioned volleyball tournament events. So there's like two groups. It's SoCal Cup. And then the old one was, I forget what it was called. It might have been AAU or USVB something. But during COVID, that all switched. There's a huge story and article about it, but they all switched over to SoCal Cup because the other organization wasn't starting fast enough after COVID, and they actually kind of took over the other organization. But you're in one or the other of those two groups.
Yeah, basketball is different. It's kind of free for all, and it's like they have tournaments in Vegas in the summer. It's like one every week, and they charge like $1,200 a team, and then so the kids get charged, and I don't know. It's crazy. Like it's there's a lot of political stuff going on in this game, you know, and like coaches who are parents of kids and they get playing time. I'm sure you guys kind of, I don't know if club volleyball is like that, but basketball tends to be a lot like that, and it just gets a little bit like political. So like, I just kind of take a step back, but then you don't know like where to put your kids. And there's so many different programs or travel programs out here, even in where we live in San Fernando Valley, and you don't know which coach is good, which one's bad. And then they're like kind of selfish. And like, you're trying to figure out like to try to navigate this as you're growing and your kids are growing, you get like sucked into these things and you're not sure where to go. It's like, I wish there was a guide of like, this is where you have to go.
Yeah. And then it's like, what's the ultimate goal? Like when you start this, when they're like 10 or 12, which is when my kids started, like you just want to get them into some kind of activity. Eventually they get a little bit better and you're kind of like, oh, they have some potential. So let me see what I can do with this. And then you start putting more money into it. You get them privates and all of that. And then so like Nate, he's been doing it since 10 or 12. I want to say 10 years old because we started Alex at 12. So then what is that? He's 18. He's been in a club for like 8 to 9 years straight.
That's a lot of money.
He's like right at that level. I didn't give him the tall gene, so he's not tall enough, but he's like 6 feet. And, you know, to compete, really compete, you kind of got to be like 6'3", 6'4", or higher, depending on your position. He could have played, whether it's D2, D3, or whatever, NAIU or something, but he's burnt out. So he just told us, like, I don't want to play in college. And he was like, I'm not going to go that route. He didn't even look for any offers, even though his high school coach said he could definitely introduce him to schools. And so it's like, what's your end goal? And then, I mean, that changes along the way. 8 years after paying for privates and club and all of that. So...
But do you feel like if you didn't go that route of going paying for this and the AAU and travel and coaching... Like it's like maybe your kid wouldn't have gotten burnt out, but then do you feel like he would have been competitive enough to like compete in the varsity level or in the high school level where like he would fall behind?
Yeah, I mean, it's made him who he is, like mentally and competitive wise and all of that. And I'm sure it will add to his ability to, you know, excel in the workplace or, you know, get a job and do well and all of that. But like the direct path to like playing volleyball at the next level is done. Yes, there were benefits and there are going to be benefits that he carries on and just into his personality and his drive and like his stick-to-itiveness.
The discipline?
It's tough. The discipline and like...
Or does he remember only the negative parts?
I mean, it's definitely something we got to think about when we, you know, it's a lot of money we invest into this. You know, when we start, like you said, we're putting in $4,000 or $5,000 a year. And what's the purpose? What's the end goal? Is it for them to get a D1 scholarship, play in college, go professional, or just to be competitive with friends?
Right.
Because with Nate, 8 years at $4,000 or $5,000 a year, you probably spent $50K.
That's a lot of money.
Just on Nate, you probably spent $50K.
I never added it up, but yeah. Man.
And we think about $50K just to be competitive with your friends when he plays volleyball or playing intramurals in college.
Is that worth it?
It's a lot of money.
But that's what I'm saying. You get caught up in it, and that's why it's a $40 billion industry because at a certain point, you're like, do I pay it or do I not? And if you're not paying for it, you feel like your kid's falling behind. Yeah.
But I'm saying like I do feel like there are secondary or like trickle down benefits to playing sports.
No, I understand.
Playing club sports, like his mentality, his confidence, you know, him being a starter or being on varsity or winning a city championship, like that's all helped build his brain and his mind and his confidence and stuff. So there's definitely benefits and it's not like it's a failure because he doesn't play at the next level. So you know, I don't think that has to be everyone's ultimate goal because I don't know the percentages on that. Like who becomes pros and who becomes, it's tiny.
Very, it's like 1%.
It's tiny, right?
It's like tiny, 1%, maybe exactly. Not even 1%.
So it's crazy thinking that it's a 35, whatever you said, billion dollar industry for only a small percent to even play in college.
Right. That's crazy.
But I mean, the thing is in like, I don't think they're trying to sell coaching or like college Division I or, you know, offers. But like, I think that's where the parents have to kind of decipher and try to figure out the balance of like what's enough money and enough thing and potential, because like there are literally out there, coaches are out there. Like after my second son, Benji, he transitioned from basketball to golf. He started practicing a lot of golf and whatever. So he's playing in tournaments. But like there was this like recruiter that came to one of his tournaments and was like, oh yeah, I was witnessing Benji and he did play really well and I think he can get like some college scholarships. I was like, oh, really? That's great. Like, he had, like, back-to-back birdies, and he was playing really well that time that he was, the scout was watching him. So then I was like, oh, that's awesome. And then, like, you know, he was like, would you like to sign up for our services? Which is basically, like, we have contacts with coaches. We tell you what to do, et cetera, et cetera. Right. And
yeah, I had that.
Okay. Yeah, and so I was like, how much is that? And he's like, oh, it's, like, $2,500. I'm like, oh, like, that's another $2,500 I got to pay? Like... And I, you know, like I went back and forth and I was like, man, I feel like I can do it myself. I don't have to use them. Da, da, da. But it was like, okay, let's just see what it can do. So like I paid money for Benji and William, but it's like until like they get into college. So like for William, he's only in seventh grade. So it's like worth it for $2,500. For Benji, he's a sophomore going into junior. So like he has 2 or 3 years of his services, but like, I don't know, kind of look into it. You're like, man, is it really worth paying that much money versus you being able to do things on your own? So like imagine like these guys are just going out there and like talking to parents, sending out emails to everyone saying like, hey, I saw your kid and he's really good. Will you want to pay me $2,500 and I'll show you how to get into college? But there's no guarantees. It's like, you know, it's kind of like that's, think about it. That's $5,000 I paid again to another company to help my kids try to get seen in the college world, right?
Right, right, yep. No, it's like how much you want to be involved or not, but like it's his contacts and it's like his the efficiency that he has it already versus you having to figure it all out and all of that and the time and all that. But.
So like you guys all have like young, like middle school to high school kids, right? Like myself, like what, having gone through this as parents, like what do you guys feel like is like the right age for kids to start paying money to get developed, you know? Because I started young for my kids, but like at what age do you feel like it's good and like has it been beneficial and the balance and all that? And also like we got to talk about later, but like multi-sports, you stick kids into one sport or like how we grew up, we played like almost every sports, right? And what's the benefits of that?
I feel like these days it's a lot different. Kids are getting started so early in sports and they're already getting so good at an early age. Like, you know, I noticed that because my kids, you know, transitioned to volleyball late. And I feel like, wow, they're so behind compared to a lot of the other people because a lot of the teammates have been playing for years and years. So I feel like it's just so competitive these days, like with kids starting early.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely start younger. I think for a lot of sports, though, like your coordination or your dexterity or like even your maturity of your body and your limbs are like, to, you know, plays a part in that. So Nate started 10, Alex was 12, and they definitely have an advantage versus someone starting in like high school or later. But I'm sure there's kids, Willie and all of them started what? How old did they start?
I mean, Willie played basketball when he was 2. He started at 2, so.
And he's as good as he was because he started at young, right. Probably.
But I mean, same thing like volleyball, basketball is, you can't teach height, right? So like at a certain point, you have certain skills that you can be good and certain IQ. But like when you're playing at a high speed and competitive level and kids are like 6'6", 6'9", I mean, you have to be that much quicker, that much faster, that much better in terms of how you play if you're like 6 foot tall or 5'10" versus someone who's like 6'6", 6'9". You're like, it's hard to compete with that. Right.
Hard to compete. Our two middles started freshman year and they were 6'7" though. So, and they're going to get college offers because they're 6'7".
And they may not be the best skills players. No, definitely not. But you can teach them skills over time. Yeah. But you can't teach skilled players how to get taller.
So if I knew a kid was going to be super tall, I'd say, hey, don't pay for club yet. You can wait till you're a freshman.
Exactly.
And we'll teach you all you need to know in 4 years and then you'll get D1 offers.
Especially volleyball.
Yep. Yeah. But if you're, I'm sorry, a Korean kid, I don't know. You might have to start earlier.
Yeah. And I think that's the same thing with golf. Like golf is like one of those sports where like it is, you know, people talk about like economics in sports, and golf is one of those sports where like if you don't have money, you really can't get that good unless you have like parents that are really like wanting to sacrifice everything, because like even going to the range and getting bucket of balls is like $10, right? And then, but like imagine like having access to a golf course. And so like I know these public courses have like cheap rates for kids under 18, like $5 to $10 a round or something, but mm-hmm. like you still have to buy clubs, you have to learn how to play, like, and there's like accessibility, I guess, like YouTube and videos and stuff, but like the kids have to be really disciplined for them to like really get good if you don't have money. And mm-hmm. so like kids that are usually good in golf usually comes from money, and so there's disadvantages of that, right? So like, but it's tough, man. Golf is a mental game. It's a physical game. But I tell my kids, like, transitioning into golf is much easier as someone who's under 6 foot tall or not that tall, because it's an individual sport. But it gets tougher because you have to rely on yourself only, not your mm-hmm. teammates. If you're having a bad day, you still got to finish a round. Basketball, you can sit on the bench. You can make, you mm-hmm. can miss shots, but you can go get rebounds. You can hustle. You can play defense. But like in golf, it's like, still got to hit the next shot. You got to hit. You got to make it in the hole.
You got to
for 18.
Out.
You got to finish out. And we all play golf, so you know, like it's tough when you're having a hard time, but like you still got to finish.
Definitely the most mental game. I think we've all gone through that. Mental blow-ups.
That's crazy that they have mental coaches. Like
they have mental coaches.
I need a therapist. Can I get one before? Yeah.
It's crazy. It's a crazy because we pay. I think $300 an hour for the mental coach.
The mental coach.
Yeah. But it does help. I mean, it does help sure a lot, but like it's very pricey. But like if you get to that pro level, and it's like the difference between someone who is like in the pros in golf, they all have the same skill sets, same shots, same everything. It's just whoever is stronger in your head mentally.
Did you guys see part two, season two?
I didn't see season two yet. Okay. What is it called?
Full Swing? I just watched season two of Full Swing, and it compares side by side. Joel Damon, who lost his mom, and the guy who just won the U.S. Open in L.A., L.A. Country Club.
Who was that? I don't remember.
Clark. Clark, Wyndham Clark.
Okay.
So yeah, Wyndham yeah. Clark lost his mom too, and he has a mental coach, and he's been seeing her for a year. Joel Damon doesn't. So it goes side by side, like 2-3 episodes of just those two guys. And obviously Wyndham Clark has been having success. Last year he won the U.S. Open. And Joel Damon, after that,
fell off the cliff.
He kind of fell off the cliff. And he's going through it with his caddy because his caddy needs to make money. And he doesn't see the effort in Joel Damon. So like the last episode I saw, I think he was agreed to see somebody, start seeing somebody. But that was a direct comparison between two guys.
And one that's had it. Exactly. And so like you needed the extra help, right, to get to the next level of like coaching and stuff. But like when you don't get that, even as kids, like if you don't have that, you're at a disadvantage, right? And so you don't ever want to be in that situation or put your kids in a situation at a disadvantage if you don't have to. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know, man. As parents these days, it's hard. And raising kids, not just in like sports, but like every way, like social media, digital media, everything is like so in your face these days that like it's hard to be parents. But like in what we're talking about, which is the world of sports and we're trying to make champions, everyone wants to go to D1. Everyone wants to become a pro. You got guys like Caleb Williams who are saying like, whoever drafts me has to give me ownership of their teams. It's like mm-hmm. we're creating a culture where it's like people are so like overwhelmed and like overconfident in their abilities. It's like I don't know like what's I don't know what's beneficial. And then we have in other segments that we can talk about NIL and how kids get paid these days versus like Reggie Bush back in the day when he got his Heisman taken away because he got paid. But like what's the difference back then than now? Now they legalize it and kids can get paid. And there's always advantages, right?
And then a whole nother topic is race and I mean, there's the whole Asian thing in basketball and that whole inequity.
You have the whole Jeremy Lin and Lin Sanity and how he got there and how he didn't succeed in the NBA.
And the next episode was Tom Kim. So now they went over Tom Kim and they're starting that one. And it's interesting to hear his story. Like, he won 2 tournaments, got super famous, and is on the circuit. But, like, I don't know. Me watching it as a Korean guy, I notice things that I'm sure some other white guy watching the same episode is not going to notice.
Different perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how he gets treated is slightly different to me than I feel like they're treating another white guy. So our perspective, like watching that guy, like we're going to notice and pick up things that someone else isn't. And I feel like it's so much harder, even if he has the skill, definitely for basketball, even if they got the skill, like
the culture is
going to get overlooked.
Oh, the pathway is going to be a lot harder for sure.
Yeah, get way overlooked.
But, I mean, like if you watch the whole Linsanity thing, I mean, that's what he talks about too. Jalen talks about how, you know, if you watch him, he's Chinese American, right? And he went to Harvard. He was the number one player in California, the state of California, and he did not get drafted or picked for a Division I college. Yeah. No offers. So he ended up going to Harvard. He was probably the best player in the Ivy League, and he did well. And then he still didn't get drafted, and then he got picked up, I think, like through like those like signings, and he got picked up at the Knicks, and then the whole Linsanity thing happened. But it's like, you know, he talks about his story of how, like, dude, like, I was the best player in California. Yeah, I didn't get any offers. And, like, he got all these things. Like, he was better than all these people. And he almost, like, even now to the day, he kind of talks in his culturally almost black, right? African-American mm-hmm. type of culture. And then for him trying to do that, to try to fit into the people who are playing basketball, he gets ridiculed, right? It's like, oh, why are you trying to act black? And da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. But, like, when he tries to act Asian, then like people are like, oh, you're no good. It's like, but he can probably be better than like half the starters of the guards in the NBA, but like he just can't do it, right? Like he's not making money. And so he ended up going to China and playing.
I heard he's lighting it up there right now.
Hey, happy for him.
He's going like 40 points, you know, triple doubles and everything.
But I think as an athlete, you kind of want to play with the best players if you can. And he's been trying to come back to the NBA before and it never worked out again. So it's culture and race and all culture. That is different.
Even when he did try to do his comeback, remember in the G League, he was top 10 in scoring and everything. And every top 10 player in the G League got picked up except for him. He was the only one that didn't.
Exactly. But everyone will say, it's not crazy. Because of that. He's not that good. But I'm like, well, stats show that he's top 10 or top 3, I think he was in the G League or something like that, and he still didn't get picked up.
Which is interesting. I would feel like some smart agent would pick him up just for his fan base to put him on some team.
Well, I think it wasn't the agent's problem, because I'm sure agents wanted to get
they
signed,
still probably got
but it's the teams that didn't want to.
Closed doors, yeah.
But, you know, remember part of it was like New York Knicks loved Jeremy Lin during the Linsanity time, but then like after Carmelo, because that was when Carmelo Anthony was injured, but when he got out of injury, Carmelo didn't want him there because he didn't want to be like second light to him. So I mean, obviously, like with any kind of professional stuff, there's a lot of what do you call it, like politics.
Yeah.
So politics, man.
Racial barriers.
Yeah. So I know this is our first show, and we'll just have additional shows in the future. But like, you know, there's so much to talk about, like making champions of our kids and kids out there in America. And there's so many topics, and we'll have different guests come and talk about, you know, their specific sports and their experiences. But like, we just wanted to start out this podcast and start this one out to show parents who are maybe like raising kids that are, you know, still infants or elementary and just trying to figure things out. So like you get personal experiences from people who've gone through it to see what's the proper way and maybe like balancing and not spending so much money out there or time and effort and seeing what's a well-balanced way of raising your kids and trying to make champions, right?
Yeah, I guess we didn't go too much into like what they should do. We would do a second one with like frequently asked questions or like, what's the best way to do this, or should we spend this money or not spend this money, or like
Yeah, and we can have
different about specific sports.
Yeah, we just talked about our experience, but like not what's good or bad or which way to go.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to more listeners to our podcast of Making Champions. Thank you so much.
Peace.